Good morning to everyone. The joke in Israel is that there's no such thing as a Sunday, and therefore every day has to be a Yom Tov of some sort in order for us to get a vacation. So as you know, there is no Sunday. Sunday is a regular day of work here in this country. So if there's a day off, it must be a Yom Tov. So therefore, next week on Tuesday, we have a day off, which is very rare, but unfortunately not as rare as I would have liked, and that is because of Election Day. So I thought in honor of this Yom Tov called Election Day, you'll paskin if we say tachanun or not, but ultimately, in honor of Election Day, I wanted to say something that I believe is very important at this time of the year, that people who call themselves rabbis are ultimately saying that in the name of the Torah, you have to vote X only. And the only bothers me. I have no problem with rabbis coming out and saying their points of view, as long as they make clear that it's a political point of view and not the Torah point of view. I've already spoken extensively about people that come and say, in the name of the Torah, I'm right. And I've already also spoken extensively, and this is all recorded and you can go back to it, about the fact that you have to make your own decision. And I don't believe that people can come and say, well, the rabbi told me to, so I voted X. Or the rabbi told me to, and I decided to curse my wife. Or the rabbi told me to, and I decided to go ahead and take a nail with a hammer and punch someone's tires. I think that a person has to make ultimately his own decisions, and after 120 years, when he gets up to heaven, he's going to be judged for that. But today, I want to talk about something else. And that is there a place in our Avodas Hashem, in our daily conduct as religious Jews, working, quote-unquote, for God, working in God's world, God is our employer, God is the master of the universe. Is there a place for individualism? Or everyone has to be the same, basically? Think the same, do the same, and whatnot. We all are commanded to be obedient to Jewish law, to halacha. But is there a place for individualism? Does the Torah recognize that people are not the same? What do you say? Does the Torah recognize that two religious Jews are not the same? Give me a halacha that proves your point. A bracha, I'll give you a hint, that we say when we see a bunch of Jews, as a matter of fact, a large number of Jews. When you see 600,000 Jews, what should be the bracha? If we were all the same, you'd probably say, blessed be you God, King of the universe, who created the Jewish nation. Period. Blessed be you God, King of the universe, who created the chosen nation. What do we say? The Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Nun Chet Amud Aleph, you can see it in the book on page 55, HaRe'eh Achluchsiyeh Yisrael, if you see many Jews, Omer Baruch Chacham HaRazim, blessed you God, the genius of many geniuses, She'en Da'atam Domer Zeh Lazeh, just like their faces are not the same, we all know that, so too, their minds work differently. Ultimately, as you could see, throughout Jewish law, there is no such thing as a nation which is all the same. We are not homogeneous. In the sense of everyone is exactly the same, and that's what we should all be. As if there's an ideal Jew out there that we're supposed to be like, and if we're not, we have to engage in apologetics of why not. We're supposed to look like him, but what can you do? Parnassa, other things, and ultimately, what are you going to do? Someone yesterday came in and said to me, you see, my beard was cut, and I had to take off my payas, because I'm now collecting money for a very good cause, as a matter of fact. I don't know, I looked at him, he looked Jewish to me. He's wearing a kippah, tzitzis out, wore a beard, he was trimmed. But he had to apologize, because he believes that, you know, there's an ultimate Jew out there that has payas and a beard, and he's supposed to look like that. But now, what are you going to do? He has to go ahead and solicit money, so therefore he has to look like that. There is no such thing in Judaism.
What was the trimming beard?
He had to trim his beard. He had a beard down to here, and now his beard is up to here. As a matter of fact, Rav Amital was very fond of saying at the Sefer Shmos at the beginning, where the Jewish people are counted again. Ve'elishmot b'nei Yisrael b'ei Mitzrayma. These are the names of the Jewish people that came down. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda. And then again, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, we count all the Jewish people. Rashi is very famous. What does he say? How come we counted them again? After all, we know who came down to Egypt from the end of the book of Bereshit. We know who the sons of Yaakov were. So why are they counted again at the beginning of Shemot? As a matter of fact, it's out of place, because the beginning of Shemot is the beginning of the family of Yaakov becoming a nation. So why do we care that originally it started with a Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zevulun, Binyamin? What does Rashi say?
I think those were individuals, and I would count them as Shvatim, as the fathers of the nation.
Well, not exactly, but he says, Afal Pishim Mena'an B'Chayehen B'Shmotan, even though he already counted them, Chazaru Mena'an B'Mitatan, he went ahead and counted them again, Lo'odia Chibatam Shenim Shelula Kochavim, that he loves the Jewish nation that are like the stars. U'machnisam B'Misparu V'Shmotam, and he, God puts them into heaven in their right number, the amount of stars, and in their names. In other words, every single star, as you know, has a name for it. Any astrologist can tell you. So too, every Jew has a name. And his name is not like the other guy's name. And even if two people are named Yehoshua, they're very different from one another. And we have to recognize that and appreciate that. And not only appreciate that, understand that that's not the Eved. It's not because we're living in Golos and what can you do? We came from different countries and there's such machlokes. But rather, that's the chatchila, that we shouldn't be the same. As a matter of fact, there's a beautiful, beautiful Zohar that you may not know, but a Zohar that I think is very important to know. When I published my book, if only I knew this source then, I would have put it in. The Zohar is talking about Minyan. As you know, in Minyan, no one has a name. You come to a shtibl, and they want to get a Minyan together, so what do you become? From a name, you become?
A number.
Ashrei. We all try to daven in a Minyan. Says the Zohar the following. I'm going to read it now in translation, because the Zohar was written in Aramaic. The tefillah in a Minyan goes up before God, and he wears that tefillah. Like we wear tefillin, he takes that tefillah and wears it. Mipnei she'ole bigvanim rabim. Or, in Aramaic, this salka bigvanin sagin. It goes up in a diverse way, and there's different colors, if you will, or a diversity of different prayers coming up before God. Mipnei she'ikula mikam bigvanim, because it's diverse, hine set atara v'nachar roshol shel tzadik chaya olamim. Because it's diverse, it goes on to the crown of God. And you don't want the crown to be with just one color, just gold, just silver. That's boring. You want a Purim costume to be nice. You want your clothing to be colorful. So too, you want God's crown to be in different colors. So when you daven in a minyan, it's not one prayer going up before God. But rather, at least the silent Amidah, 10 different people are davening 10 different prayers before God, and God wears it. And then the Zohar goes on and says, but when you daven alone, and you only have your prayer, thus the Gemara says, how do you know it's accepted? The Gemara in many places says, Avodah Zarah Daf Dalet, that God is not mo'eith b'tfilatan shel rabim. God can throw down a tefillah b'minyan. He may say no, but he has to listen. When just one person's davening, not exciting. When everyone is davening, that's the Jewish nation, the diversity. Yes, Bruce.
I was thinking that in the white light, white, one color, all the colors of the rainbow are in there.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
Within the one, within the unity,
that's right.
It is every people.
That's true. As a matter of fact, the Natziv says it, Rav Amital doesn't quote it, that every person has a favorite mitzvah. The Gemara talks about this Rav who said, when I went up to Duchen, I always had a bracha beforehand. No big deal. This Rav said, I was always very careful with this mitzvah. And this Rav said, I was always very careful with that mitzvah. Why do we care? I mean, all these mitzvahs were obligated in. Obviously, the great rabbis of the Talmud fulfilled the mitzvahs. Rather, when they did the mitzvah, this was their favorite mitzvah. And says the Natziv from Volozhin that every single Jew has a mitzvah that he or she feels that's the most important and they excel in and they're excited about. Not everyone's excited about Pesach coming up. We all fulfill it. There's Jews that are more excited than others. Same thing with other holidays. Some people dread the long Yom Kippur davening. Some people look forward to it. And the truth of the matter is that when you talk about worshiping God, we are all obedient to Jewish law, albeit we fulfill it sometimes in different ways. Jewish law doesn't change, but what you feel after you do a mitzvah, the mitzvah that you like versus the mitzvah you don't like, the one you adore more and cherish more versus the other, is different from person to person. Thus says the pasuk in Tehillim, "L'chol tichra ra'iti ketz rechava mitzvatcha me'ot." To every single thing I saw an end, and then the author of Tehillim says, "Rechava mitzvatcha me'ot." Your mitzvah are very wide. What do you mean they're very wide? There's one thing there's no machlokas about. Amazing. On this issue, there's no machlokas. How many mitzvot are there in the Torah biblically?
613.
That's a Gemara at the end of Makos. And the Gemara does not bring a machlokas. No one says 612, 614, 630. Everybody agrees, Tarjag mitzvot. No machlokas. Amazing, by the way, in many levels. There's a machlokas what those mitzvot are. But everyone agrees on the number, 613. When you write a book of mitzvot, you put down number 1 through 613, you start filling in the blanks. How people fill in the blanks, it's different. So what does the pasuk in Tehillim mean when it says that the mitzvot are very wide? Explain Rav Amichtal, in every single mitzvah, there's enough space for each person to find his corner, his world, his significance for the mitzvah that's relevant to him. Every time you open a pasuk, Rashi says one thing, the Ramban says another thing. The same pasuk! We're learning the same chumash! And everybody's saying something else. Everyone has a different pshat. We're going through the parshi of now of the mishkan of the tabernacle. What does Rashi say? The whole idea of a tabernacle, of a mishkan is?
Bidiyeved!
After the Chet HaEgel, we had no choice. What does the Ramban say?
Opposite.
It's the continuum Mamad Har Sinai. I don't know what Rashi's talking about. Same verses. They read it differently. Same verses. They read it differently. And therefore, it's very vital to understand that within the realm of mitzvot, there is enough room for each person to find his own corner. And don't paint every same light, because that is a mistake. That is a very vitally big mistake. The Ramban, in Parshat Naso, where we talk about all the Nesiyim, the presidents bringing the Korbanot for the inauguration of the Mishkan, you know that it's one of the easiest lanings in the Torah. Why? B'yom HaRishon, Nasi Livnei, B'yom HaShini, B'yom HaShlishi. It's exactly the same present. So why didn't they say all the Nesiyim brought this? We'd save a lot of time. Parshat Naso is the longest parsha in the Torah. Everyone gives a different pshat. The Ramban says like this: the kol echad me'anisiyim ala b'machshava la'avil chanukah la'mizbeach v'shetiyeh b'zeh ha'shiur. Avanach shon chashav b'shiur. Kol echad me'anisiyim chashav tam b'fnei atzmo. Every single president of tribes ultimately thought of a different reason as to why to bring exactly the same korbanot. So ultimately, when you talk about mitzvot, it's vital to remember that we cannot paint a Jew in the same color. Now, I'm saying all this especially now because we're about to get into election days. And people are going to say, you have to vote for this party because if not, the Jewish people are going down the road and they're going to be thrown into the sea. And you're going to sell someone else that's going to say exactly the opposite. The truth of the matter is, everybody is probably correct. There is not one Jew that has the ultimate truth. If someone had the ultimate truth and had the perfect world, I'd move in tomorrow, even if it means I have to change my clothing and change my face. No one has found the ultimate answer. And I'll just end with a beautiful Ramban. You know, the Ramban was a very docile writer. He wrote a perush on the Chumash. He wrote a perush on the Gemara. And he also wrote many other things. Many, many, many other Sfarim. Amongst them, he wrote a book called Jihad. Actually, it's called Milchamot Hashem. I call it Jihad for short. Jihad means the words of God. Who is his jihad against? A Jewish jihad doesn't mean taking a sword and beheading someone. God forbid. A Jewish jihad is to write against someone. Who did he write against? He called the jihad, Milchamot Hashem. No. Good guess, though. Who?
Anti-Semites?
No.
Maybe Jewish extremists?
No, actually. He wrote it against the rabbi. You know what the rabbi did? You know what the rabbi did? The rabbi dared to write a perush against the Rif. Rabbeinu Alfasi, written in the back of the Gemara. You know, a typical Vilna Shas has the Gemara in the middle with the Rashi and the Tosfot. You ever looked in the back and you see again the Gemara with the, it looks like a Rashi and a Tosfot? It's just the difference. The middle is the Rif, who copies the Gemara and just brings the Halacha. And then there's interpretations on the Rif. One of them is an interpretation that ultimately disagrees with the Rif. The Ramban sometimes agreed with that interpretation's ultimate conclusions. But he said, how dare you write against our Holy Rebbe, the Rif? Our Holy Rebbe, the Rif. As you know, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin Talacha based on the three Amudei Hora'ah, the three foundations of Jewish law. Who are they?
The Rif, the Rosh,
and the Rambam. Very good. So the Rif was the Rif. So the Ramban wrote against this rabbi. You can look up later who he wrote against. And he called it Milchamot Hashem. He called it no less than Jihad. The wars of God. And what does he write in the introduction to his Milchamot Hashem, to the Jihad? I quote word for word. Ki yodea kolomei Talmudeinu. Anyone that learns our Gemara knows she'ein b'machloket mefarshav ra'ayot gmurot ve'lo berof kushiyot chalutot, that nobody has the exact truth as to how to interpret the Gemara. No one has all the right proofs. Again, he's writing a book called Jihad, Milchamot Hashem, which means I'm right and you're wrong. I'm going to fight against you. But he says no one has the ultimate truth. She'ein b'chuchma azot mofet baror. There's no exact, precise truth. Kegon choshvenei tishbrot nisrinei tochna, like other people think. Avanashim komo atzno mo'odeinu v'chayenu mikol machloket barachichik achad min adeot besfarot machriot v'nitchok alea hashmuot v'nasim yitron ekshel leval dinam b'pshatei ahalachot v'hogen ha'asugiyot im haskamat ha'sechel ha'nachon v'zot tachlit yicholteinu. All we can do is do our best to interpret the Gemara with the best svara, with the best kind of interpretation that we can. So even though he calls his book Jihad, Milchamot Hashem, war, war means there's good guys and bad guys, he says right at the beginning, I don't have the ultimate truth. I acknowledge that I do not have the only way to interpret the Gemara. Don't have it. I have a lecture I like to give. I think it's an important lecture, a vital lecture, explaining Havdalah. I believe it's correct. I'm 99.9% convinced that it's correct. But there's a Rambam against me. I have many Rishonim on my side. The Rambam disagrees. I have a whole thing about the Havdalah. The Rambam disagrees with me. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have a whole pshat in explaining Asara B'Tevis. Why is it that if it would fall out on Shabbos, important, something that can't happen on our calendar, how come we would still fast on Shabbos for a little Asara B'Tevis? But if Tisha B'Av this year comes out, God forbid, on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. As it will. The base of Mikdash is not built. I have a whole pshat on it, a beautiful pshat. It's the day of the Abu Draham. It's quoted in the Beis Yosef with the greatest respect to the Abu Draham, quoted in the Beis Yosef with a pasuk and everything. The Rambam, Holy Rambam, in his Mishneh Torah says, all these four fast days, Tzom Gedalia, Asara B'Tevis, Shiva Asara B'Talmud, Tisha B'Av, if they fall on Shabbos, push it off to Sunday. He doesn't say Asara B'Tevis is different. He doesn't say it. So you can go on and give the best, beautiful shiur, and people say, crystal clear, beautiful. No one has the ultimate truth. And therefore, before election time, I think it's vital to remind ourselves, we are human beings. There's place for every human being, even while keeping the same halacha. We are all concerned about the eternity of the Jewish people sitting in the land of Israel. And therefore, we are all going to vote on Tuesday. But nobody has the ultimate answer, and no party has the ultimate answer. We have to make a decision, we have to vote, but we have to acknowledge that there are other points of view out there. I know this does not make good politics, because if you go on TV and you say, well, I acknowledge that there's other points of view, maybe people won't vote for you. Perhaps politicians have to talk in absolutes. I'm right and the other guy's an idiot. But we, normal human beings, who don't get fooled by politicians, have to acknowledge that there is room for every individual, even within keeping the same Jewish law, even within being concerned about the eternity of the land of Israel and the state of Israel. Even though our concerns are the same, our conclusions may be different. And if we don't remember that, and if we don't acknowledge that, then excuse me for saying so, we are being the most Baalei Gaiva haughty I've ever seen. You have the ultimate truth. What are you, God? Emet atahu rishon, ve'atahu acharon, u'mibaladecha ein lanu melech go'elu Moshiach. We say every morning in davening, there's one emet. Chotamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emet. There's one truth, God. Everyone else down here does their best, but there's always place. Always place. Space and place for disagreements. And I think we should remember that as we get closer to election time and as we get closer to a time where people will try to convince you it's my way or the highway. That has never been a Jewish value, and I am very concerned if it ever will become a Jewish value. There is space for our individual's corner, even within keeping the same halacha.